Welcome into another edition of Bronx on Broad. My name's Jordan Hirsch.
Let's go.
I'm alongside Katie DiGiuseppe and Ben Chenault. You can be a successful head coach and be bad at play calling. Mm-hmm. You can be a successful head coach and not know how to design an offensive scheme. You can be a successful head coach and not be able to make the best in-game decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be a successful head coach and not be able to do any of those three things.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni, 2021, stripped of play calling duties. Last year, designs the offense that goes stale and contributes to the collapse. And this year, just looks like a deer in the headlights whenever it's fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everyone else, believes the defense played better than the offense this week.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Sirianni had little to no say about the defense, but had a little bit more to say about the offense. I'm just saying that there's a pattern here.
Yeah.
I would like to see Nick Sirianni kind of just shut up and let Kellen Moore cook.
I would like to see
what happens when that happens, because I don't think Sirianni is ready to give up the reins.
It definitely is concerning. When you have the type of players you do and we're not able to score more than 0 points until the fourth quarter against a team like the Saints, it's definitely concerning. It was good to see them finally get into a groove. I would have liked to see it a little bit earlier than the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Because in other situations, are the Eagles even going to be able, or is the Eagles defense even going to be able to hold the opposing offense for the Eagles to score enough to get back in the lead or back in the game?
It goes both ways, because just like how on one hand you can't overcome poor quarterback play, great quarterback play can make up for a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
And one of those being Sirianni's play calls. One of those being all the injuries the Eagles had to deal with. Jalen Hurts balled out in that second half.
He did.
And that's, again, a big reason why they were able to come out of there with the win, because everything was going against this team. But sometimes if you just have an elite quarterback at the helm, you find ways to win.
You are confident in Nick Sirianni?
I'm not confident in Nick Sirianni. I have faith that he can continue to lead this football team.
I do not. I do not have faith that he will continue to lead this football team, because he has shown us what he's capable of by going 10-1 in 2020.
He's also shown what he's capable of in getting the team to a Super Bowl that if they had a defensive coordinator that wasn't inept, they would have won.
I don't even know why this is rocket science, and I don't know why I have to explain this, because I feel like a lot of people would agree with me. I don't care what the odds are. I don't care what team we're playing. I don't care where we're playing them. I don't care when we're playing them. I do not have faith in Nick Sirianni to lead the Eagles team, because when we were 10-1 during that season, almost every single game was a quote unquote guaranteed win. So when we play teams like Cleveland, like Jacksonville, like whoever it is, I'm not sitting on my couch that day and being like, okay, this is a guaranteed win. I'm gonna watch the Eagles and I'm gonna have a great day because Nick Sirianni is gonna lead us to victory. I don't feel that way anymore. I don't feel that way at all anymore. I was at the Eagles game on Sunday and I was like, it set into me when I sat down in my chair and we looked the way we did in the first quarter, still didn't score any points. I was like, wait, we could really lose this football game to the Cleveland Browns. I don't have faith in Nick Sirianni. I don't.
So yeah, I'm with Katie.
Well, let me throw this out there. Because so you guys are out on him. So are you guys on the bandwagon of fire Nick?
I just don't like this whole, he's like an enemy of the people right now. It, like, he's just a sore thumb.
But you don't believe he can change that around? I think he could still get on the good side of the fans, because I think that this team,
I think if we weren't in Philadelphia, yes.
Well, no, but especially the next 3 weeks. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're winning, the fans are going to be happy.
Are we really winning? Are you really winning?
If you're scoring more points than your opponent more consistently, then yes, you are winning.
No, but it's what we're giving up. It's what, I don't know.
At what cost?
Yeah.
At what cost are we winning? At what cost are we winning? Jordan Mailata goes down. At what cost are we winning? Dallas Goedert goes down.
Sustainable to the playoffs?
That's not on the head coach, though, Mailata and Goddard going down.
Yeah, we can win all these games, but it's not going to get us anywhere if we flake out at the playoffs.
Well, you're talking very far down the line right now. A lot's going to happen between now and January. Like, let's say this. We've got the lowly Giants, the lowly Bengals, and then the disaster down in Jacksonville coming up on our schedule the next 3 weeks. If we're 6-2, then what? I don't know how you can be out on a head coach who's got a team at 6-2.
Depends on the final.
Then I want to see us go 7-2, and then I'll be all right.
So it's Dallas the next week.
Let's beat a good team.
Let's beat Dallas.
So we have to go on a 5-game win streak for you guys to be back in on Sirianni?
I'm still scarred from the horror of last season, and a lot of that, I believe, is on Nick Sirianni.
If we do not beat these low-level teams...
By a lot.
Because right now, I consider the Eagles not a high-level team.
Nope.
Not a high-level team at all.
We're as mid can get, brother.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if you win 5 straight games...
Against low-level teams!
Of course you're going to beat the Jaguars. Of course you're going to beat the Giants.
But I don't even know if they're going to. I can't even say that they're going to beat them.
Here's the thing. It would show improvement. If they were to go 5-0 during the stretch between Cleveland and Dallas, remember, they just barely got by New Orleans. They lost to Atlanta. These are other teams that aren't very high in the NFL rankings. So if they're able to show improvement and go out there and win 5 straight games, even though they're against teams that they're supposed to beat, that to me shows that, first of all, Sirianni can... If you're 7-2, there's no complaining about the head coach in the locker room, which I don't think there is right now anyways.
That's been overshadowed by other stuff.
If you're 7-2, look, I can't be too mad at that. Let's take a listen to what Eagles superfan Micah Parsons...
superfan.
What he had to say about Saquon Barkley's performance Friday night.
I expected Saquon to do that. But I think Saquon has a chance to be offensive player of the year in this new offense. I mean, receiving touchdown, 2 rushing touchdowns, over 100 total all-purpose yards. It looked very dynamic, and he looked very explosive. He looked very back to normal Saquon. Mm-hmm. I tweeted that the Giants should be under investigation. You know why? Because how do you let this explosive weapon go to an NFC rival?
I agree with that.
Yeah, how do you let this explosive weapon go to an NFC rival?
How do you not sign Hassan Reddick? Well, that's for the Jets.
And last night proved that the Jets need Hassan Reddick.
Hassan Reddick, yep.
But no, that audio provided by Bleacher Report on Micah Parsons' podcast. But he's right. I never even considered necessarily the individual superlatives that could come from this offense this season. He's right. Saquon could be a front runner for offensive player of the year in this offense.
He stays healthy.
I forgot how good he was. Yeah. Like, for so long, like, he didn't do anything, really. And since his rookie year, I mean, last year, he had 1,300 yards, but, I mean, you know, that's nothing to, like,
it also comes down to when you're on a better team, you perform better. When you have a better line that's able to block guys for you and you're able to run, you perform better. You have better stats. You run more. You score more touchdowns.
I think a big thing, we kind of touched on it last week, but we still need to decipher who is going to be our 3 starters, or 4, give or take. I'll start it off. I think Nola Wheeler.
Noah?
Wait.
Number 1?
No particular
order.
Okay. Wheeler, Nola.
Well, that's kind of the main thing. We know who the top 3 are. It's a matter of who's going to pitch when.
Wheeler
will start us off, Nola, and Suarez.
That's what you want?
Mm-hmm.
No Sanchez?
Sanchez could be long relief.
No, I can't have that.
Yeah, I don't agree
Sanchez
with that.
Is the second best pitcher on the team right now. I need him starting game 2.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Do we trust Sanchez yet?
Yes.
To pitch in the postseason?
Yes. Yes.
But last year...
He's got to pitch in the postseason at some point this season.
Yeah.
So I'd rather him pitch at home than pitch on the road.
He is not good on the road. He needs to pitch at home.
Right.
So even whether or not you trust Sanchez to pitch in the playoffs or not, which that's a valid concern, I do, because this entire season he's proven that he's more than capable of pitching in big games. I know the playoffs are a little different, but it seemed like every time we doubted Sanchez, he would just go out there and go 7 innings of 1-run ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know Sanchez is going to have to pitch at some point, and I need him to pitch where he's most comfortable, and that's at Citizens Bank
Park. Yeah, I want him in game 2.
Okay, so let's think. Sanchez, we're on the road. Oh. So would you rather have, let's put it this way, would you rather have Suarez pitch on the road or Sanchez pitch on the road?
I'd rather
Suarez.
Well, I'd rather not have Suarez pitch at all in the NLDS because I'd rather sweep. I'd go Wheeler, Sanchez, Nola. You don't want the Phillies to sweep?
Okay,
you don't want the Phillies to sweep?
I love Ranger, dog. Ranger last year in the NLCS, 10 innings.
Did you love him in his last performance?
Something's up with Ranger.
No.
Yeah, something's up.
10 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 13 strikeouts against the Diamondbacks last year in the NLCS.
Yeah, there's no doubt he's come through time and time again.
So
but
why
I think something's
thrown into the curb.
Because
of his performances
wrong.
This year.
He hasn't had a quality start since June 25th.
Okay. That might be valid.
So I would start him game 4 if you needed to.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless I would start. This is what I would do.
Okay.
I think that we agree here. No, so go ahead.
Yeah. I would go Wheeler, Sanchez, Nola.
Yep.
And then if you play game 4, you're either going to be up 2-1 or down 2-1. If you're up 2-1, I start Ranger, but I have a very short leash on him.
Okay.
And if you're down 2-1 and you need the win to save your season, I'm pitching Wheeler on short rest.
I agree.
Over Ranger. I agree
with that one.
I don't even think that that's up for debate. I think that that's the only thing. I think if you're smart, that's what you have to do.
So, you know, talking about who is going to be pitching, who's going to be hitting, is there any specific people that you want to see off or on the roster?
I want Taiwan Walker off and Cody Clemens on.
Yeah, yes. I'm with that.
So are we rocking with Cody now?
No. Okay, let me put it out there to every listener of Bronx on Broad. I do not hate Cody Clemens. I don't hate him.
But you don't want him on the roster.
No, I do want him on the roster if he's going to be over Taiwan Walker.
That's what he would be. He'd be on the roster because they would, in theory, carry 5 bench guys and stay with 8 bullpen.
But you didn't let me finish. I don't hold him to the high estate that you two hold him to. I don't hold him to that he's this godsend that just clutches all the time. Okay, yeah, he had that great catch the other night, but I don't hold him to that high estate.
It could be Jalen Hurts, who went 18 for 30, 158 passing yards, 1 passing touchdown, 20 rushing yards, and a touchdown. But we didn't mention the turnovers. Jalen's got 27 turnovers since the start of last season, and that's the most in the league. What is your most recent update on how you feel about Jalen?
Okay, you want to take this?
Yeah, I feel like week one, I was fine. It's like, okay, it's week one. He's getting the nervousness out still, coming back from, he had a really good training camp. So whatever, coming into the regular season is obviously extremely different. But now, like week 4, we're coming up on the bye week, like these mistakes are still happening. I can't say yet that I feel completely uncomfortable with Jalen Hurts because he has had good games, and the games that his offensive line has been able to perform for him and to block guys for him, he has performed. He's ran, he's thrown touchdowns, and I like to see that. But I think that the turnovers are out of hand.
Yes.
But I can't say that I'm extremely, extremely worried. I hope that something clicks during this bye week. I hope that they can figure something out. I hope that Jalen gets it through his thick skull, that he doesn't have to hold onto the ball for more than 20 seconds.
Use your legs, dude.
Like, damn. I don't. Yeah, I hope something happens. So I can't say that I'm totally like off the Jalen Hurts bandwagon per se, but it's definitely worrisome. What do you think, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, it's week 4. I don't think anybody should be pushing the panic button when it comes to any aspect of this team. But right now, Jalen Hurts is a slightly above average quarterback. Which, when you've got the roster that you do, we talked about it in one of our first shows, you don't need Jalen to be great, you just need him to be good. He's not good right now. He's a 5.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
And again, it's week 4, so I'm not going to be like, oh, the sky is falling, Jalen Hurts sucks, this team's going nowhere, I'm not going to do all that hot take crap. But especially after a game in which he doesn't have Devontae Smith, he doesn't have A.J. Brown.
Exactly.
He doesn't have Lane Johnson. I thought Kellen Moore's game plan was awful. So I don't think Jalen was put in a great position to win on Sunday. But at the same time, when you're the quarterback and when you're supposed to be billed as one as a top 10 quarterback in the league, we've seen other top 10 quarterbacks go out there, and they're not obviously going to do it consistently unless you're Patrick Mahomes, but we've seen guys like Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson go out there and be able to lead their team to victory.
Oh, yeah.
Even despite not having some of your top weapons. And the fact that Jalen not only wasn't able to do that, but looked like a shell of what we're used to seeing out of him. And some of the other things with Jalen Hurts, too. Right? Some of the things that he can control. He can't control Devontae Smith being out. He can't control A.J. Brown being out. He can control where he's throwing the football.
That's right.
He can control
when
his pocket awareness. Yeah, when. He can control what he does in the pocket. He can control a lot of these turnovers.
Yep.
And if, whether or not you have A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith in there, he's got to be able to make better decisions, or else this season's going to go nowhere fast. I believe that he can, and that I believe that he will. I think that he is capable of being as good as he was in 2022. Yeah. He's a guy that can turn it, around. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to need to see it quick. I'm not hitting the panic button quite yet, but if this continues after the bye week, then I'm going to smash it. And I mean, a little personally too. Part of the reason why I'm so upset about Saquon is because I feel like I jinxed it a little bit.
Why?
I had a tweet in the drafts last night ready to go because Saquon was cruising down the field on that last drive when they were trying to put it away.
You drafted a tweet?
Yeah, I had it saved in the drafts. I was ready to post it.
Oh, my God. You were just waiting to hit post?
Let me get to what it was going to be. It was going to be how Saquon Barkley was the closer that the 2020 Phillies wish they had.
Oh.
Instead, he drops the ball, and Saquon Barkley is Brandon Workman.
Oh, God, yeah. A little Craig Kimbrell action right there.
Yeah, Craig Kimbrell on Ben's new favorite team, the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, here it goes. Yep, that's a good transition.
Let's take a quick little detour. We've got more stuff to get to with the Eagles, but let's lighten the mood a little bit.
Yeah, by yelling at me?
Yeah, exactly. It's my favorite therapy, yelling at Ben. Ben, how about you explain your scenario, then I'll explain why you're wrong.
Wait, I never thought that, like, by my me bringing this up to you today, that this was going to make it onto the show. I never thought.
From the first time I heard it, I knew I was going to bring it up on the show.
Okay. But right now, like the first time you heard it 2 hours ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I already had it planned out. But anyways, we've kept our listeners in suspense too long. Mm-hmm. Ben, please explain to them your terrible decision you made yesterday.
All right. To the beautiful listeners of Bronx on Broad, I recently won a raffle to go to see the Baltimore Orioles in Maryland.
During an Eagles game, I'll throw that out there. Continue.
Yeah, on Sunday.
Okay, so I was like, ooh.
Free ticket.
I feel like I should buy something to wear to the game.
Instead of just the clothes you have in your dorm?
Yeah, but...
In your apartment?
Hear me out. So I thought it was, ooh, let's go on eBay and just see if there's any cheap Orioles jerseys. Right? I'm a big Gunnar Henderson fan. He has a great swing. Great future.
He has a great face.
The jersey was $35.
He does. He has a great face.
Okay.
My God.
It's a nice jersey. It's white. It's got the cursive Orioles on it. Listen, at the end of the day, I'm a baseball fan. All right?
Okay.
And
so am I.
And I made a deal with Jordan. I said, if the Phillies make the World Series and they're against the Orioles, I will burn the jersey.
Oh, my God, yes.
I will burn the jersey.
Oh, yes.
But for now, I'm going to wear that proud at the Orioles game. I'm going to be walking around and be like, yeah, this guy knows ball. This guy knows ball.
Wait. You're going to be walking around with it proud?
Wait. Don't.
I had to buy an Orioles hat.
Oh my God. Hang on a sec.
All right.
Oh.
A word?
Oh.
Ben Chenault's a traitor. Oh. We have an imposter among us.
What are you about to say?
Among Us references on Bronx and Broad. No.
Well, then no Orioles jersey wearing among Philadelphia Phillies fans.
Absolutely not.
Listen, I'm a baseball fan.
Me and Katie are baseball fans. Do you see us wearing Gunnar Henderson jerseys?
Even though I love Gunnar.
Yell at her, dude. Yell at her.
At me?
I've done enough yelling at Katie during the summer for this obsession. Now it's your turn because she...
Obsession is crazy.
Well, she and she never actually went out there and bought any merchandise, so I would actually venture to say that your obsession now with Gunnar Henderson is
a Lakers jersey. She has a Lakers jersey.
I have a Shaquille O'Neal jersey because he's one of the greatest players ever.
Pretty sure you're a traitor.
No.
So... Wait until I tell Paul George that.
You can tell Paul George.
That is wrong.
You can't play the breaking news sound effect. And I was expecting, ooh, Eagles re-signed Hassan Reddick. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I was expecting like an actual breaking news thing.
Can't guess.
Oh, no. Well, it is an actual breaking news thing because I never once expected a member of the only Philadelphia sports talk show on 107.7
The Bronx
to you spend his hard-earned money. And Ben, I know you work hard for your money.
Sat on the beach.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'm trying to make your case, dude.
Listen,
anyway,
it's a good jersey. Okay, I'm a fashionista. I can wear that whenever I want. Okay? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Yeah, I definitely think the biggest, kind of just spinning back once again, I definitely do think the biggest problem right now is the defensive line. Jalen Hurts played good. Receiving corps did what it could do without AJ, but you gotta pressure a guy like Kirk Cousins. If he's immobile in the pocket, they don't have a good receiving core, but they're gonna be wide open if our guys can't cover a basic out route.
Yeah, and look, the expectation on this team, and I still hold that expectation even now, is for them to be a Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. You cannot be a Super Bowl contender with a 32nd ranked rushing defense. It is impossible.
Not. Yeah.
It's impossible. The defensive line has to do better if they want to even have a chance at sniffing the Lombardi Trophy in February.
If they want to even have a chance at winning the division.
Mm-hmm.
And we have big names on the D-line. We have multiple first-round picks.
Well, here's the thing. Do we? We're not really. I can't say that Jalen Carter and Josh Sweat are big names right now.
They sure didn't look like it.
That's exactly right. Because for me to say you're a big name and to say you're a star player, you got to go out there and play like it. And right now, these guys are playing like peewee football players.
Yeah, they played like that in the past. I just don't know what clicked. I don't know what Vic Fangio is saying in their team meetings. Hey, guys, take it easy on the offensive linemen today. Like, I don't know what happened. Like I say, big names. They're recognizable names. Oh, Jalen Carter. Oh, Jordan Davis. Mm-hmm. Nolan Smith. Bryce Huff. Oh, God, he had 11 sacks last season. But when they're out on the field last night, they're like a random generated rookie in Madden. Like,
yeah.
They don't. It sucks.
I'm gonna throw a number out at you guys. That number is 50.5. You know what that represents?
No.
That represents Hassan Reddick's sack total the last four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
50.5. Where's Hassan Reddick right now?
He's not in New York either.
And he's not in Philadelphia, no. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Because instead, Bryce Huff is here.
Yep.
And doing whatever the hell he did
nothing.
Last night.
Mm-hmm. Doing nothing. And this is kind of a little bit of a Howie thing too. And I want to touch on everything we've touched on the coaching, the personnel. I want to bring up this Howie Roseman thing when it comes to Hassan Reddick and Bryce Huff, because he's going to have to shoulder a big part of the blame too for this. Again, you're two games in, but right now that is looking like an awful decision on the part of Howie Roseman to let Reddick walk and to instead bring in a guy that's unproven.
I just don't. How do you let him walk? We had so much cap space. Why didn't we pay him?
Question of the day, number one. First question of the day ever. Perfect. Okay. Out of all four Philadelphia sports, what is the craziest game you have been to? This can be crazy fan experience or crazy, like, it was, like, electric, as you would say.
I think Ben and I have the same answer one. I think we have the same answer because on October 14th of 2022.
Oh, yeah.
You were at the same game?
I could tell you where I was on that date.
Reese Hoskins.
Bat spike.
Spiked the bat.
Yeah.
The Phillies blew out the Braves in Game 3 of the NLDS. That was my first playoff game.
Me too.
I remember. I always go with my aunt. My aunt Laurie. Shout out, Aunt Laurie, if you're listening.
Shout out,
Aunt.
But we always go to the games, and I remember walking into the stadium with her because she's been a Phillies fan for longer, and she's been to a ton of playoff games. She was
ball.
There. Yeah, she knows ball.
Yeah, she's a ball knower.
She's a ball knower. Yes. Yeah. She was there 07 through 11. She was at the game for the 2008 World Series where they hit all the home runs, Joe Blanton going deep.
Wonderful.
But anyways, I remember walking into the ballpark, and I'm like, it doesn't feel that different.
Oh.
Like, you expect the energy, right? You don't know what you're going to expect, right, having gone to all these regular season games, then going into a postseason game. Then Bryson Stott hits that double down the right field line. Everyone talking about how Rhys Hoskins' bat spike, that was the loudest sound in Citizens Bank Park history. It was not. It was the Bryson Stott
you
double.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
The fastball.
Yeah, the throw. Sprint Strider threw it away trying to pick off Marsh.
You think? I see more, or I see a lot of his grand slam.
Oh, against the Marlins?
Grand slam. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That game might have to be number two on my list.
That's good, too.
But no, I promise you, it was louder. It was the loudest noise I've ever heard.
Wasn't that when there was like an actual like earthquake?
That was Game 3 of the World Series after Harper and Bohm's home runs.
Oh, okay, yeah. When they're like, what is it? I think Penn State picked up like an actual quake.
Penn State University
picked up an actual like 1.3 earthquake because of how loud it was at Citizens Bank Park.
We don't talk about the World Series game that I was at. I'll leave it at that. But yeah, the best way I can describe it, if you've never been to a Phillies playoff game and you're a Phillies fan,
I have not.
Go. Yeah, Katie, please go.
I'm the only one in this studio that has not. God.
It's an experience unlike anything else. The best way I can describe it, and I've talked to you guys about it, but the noise feels physical in a way. Like you could reach out and like touch it. It's weird.
The amount of goosebumps. It was Hoskins went deep, and then Harper, like, kind of fought. You're still celebrating, and then Harper was like, oh, my God, he went deep.
I wasn't even cheering at that point. I'm just laughing, because you're just overcome, with emotion.
Goosebumps were crazy, dude.
Okay, well, my answer can't compare to your guys's now. But
Katie, what's yours?
Mine was the Michael Lorenzo no-hitter.
Okay.
That was
crazy.
Better than my no-hitter experience.
On the wrong side.
That was crazy. Me and my friend went. We decided, my best friend from home, we decided that we were going to go. Both of our birthdays are 6 days apart in May, but we decided we were going to go in August. So we went in August. We picked a random date, and we got there like right as the game started, pretty much. We had just gotten out of the car, and we were like running to the gate, and we were like, oh my God, like it's starting. I'm normally there right on time, but like, and then we were sitting there the whole time throughout seven innings, and then I just look up at the scoreboard, and then I look up at my phone, and I'm like, wait, they don't have a hit at all.
You didn't even realize
it. No, I didn't realize. I looked up at, like, we were stretching for seventh inning, and I looked at my phone, and my mom and dad are texting me, and I look up at the scoreboard, and I'm like, they don't have a hit.
They don't have a hit. It didn't hit me at all.
Like, I really, I don't, I guess because when I'm at a Phillies game, I'm not, like, looking to see how many hits the
Especially
other team
at the
has.
Game.
Because, like,
if there's a no-hitter going on, I'm starting to pay attention, like, the third inning.
That's just how I am. But then, yeah, it was just, like, every out after that, every play, every strikeout was just, like, it was crazy. And it's very glad that I got to experience that. Never again will I ever experience something like that.
They're giving up 6.4 yards per carry. That is 32nd out of 32 NFL teams. It's the worst in franchise history through the first two games. And let me just call some guys out here real quick.
Go ahead.
Bryce Huff. he must wear zero for the number of plays he makes.
Oh.
I mean, come on, dude. You come in here. You're supposed to be, you're supposed to be Haason Reddick's replacement. And I get you're not going to be as good as
Can't
Reddick.
Live up to him, no.
But he has one assisted tackle through two games.
That's insane.
And everything else, you could look at the back of his jersey, the front of his jersey, and the two shoulder pads of his jersey to find out his stats in every other category. Jalen Carter.
Here he goes.
Jalen Carter. You were the consensus most talented player in the 2023 draft class. Where's that player at?
I heard he was doing amazing in training camp. Where's this guy that we're talking about?
How does that help us now?
Yeah, that's
it's not.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Jordan Davis. Look, I ain't saying you're a bust, dude. All I know is you better start playing like the 13th overall pick. And by the way, if you get that reference, I love you. And Josh didn't break a sweat.
Nah.
Dude, you're on a roll, dude.
Nah, I mean, Jordan, you're talking like Jalen Hurts right now, speaking in riddles.
I'm fired up, guys.
I like this.
Jordan was fired up last night when we all FaceTimed last night after the game because we did not watch the game together. Oh, so yeah. This that, proves yeah, our theory that we must watch every single Eagles game together because we're 0-1 when it comes to not watching the Eagles game together. But we are 1-0 when it comes to watching the game together. So I don't know. I think that's saying something, guys.